Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
Well, thank you. Well, friends, once again, good afternoon. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful setting that we have. We've had three showings of our musical, Do Those Children Sound Grateful? It could be near the end. But for you and me, we get a chance just briefly to enjoy some time in the Word, and I just wanted to do what we typically do best, and that is just have that little mini message. That's ideal. Matter of fact, if you found in the back of your bulletin, you'll see today's brief little outline, and I do mean brief. We've been in a holiday series. Not only is there a great message in this production today about a family just having the true meaning of Christmas with Christ the Lord, but we've been celebrating our holiday series that's entitled Jesus Celebrating All That He Is. So I wanted to just highlight a couple of things. One is, today's message is really kind of a little bit of a phrase that's used from the 1600s, that it's darkest just before dawn. And since we are looking at ornaments, the Christmas hang-ups, in other words, the ornaments coming out of darkness to be displayed seasonally, how many know that your ornaments at home could be pretty happy about this time of year, coming out of the attic, coming out of the garage, getting into being able to be displayed? Darkness can affect people, isn't that true? Sometimes you just never know. Well, let me just ask you a couple of questions, because it's always kind of nice to say, hey, how are you doing, friend? And so do you find at this season that you feel fatigue is starting to set in? In other words, are you a little more energy depleted? How about just craving sugar? Do you find that you're eating a little bit more than normal? It's more challenging for you to get up in the morning, and that it's difficult to kind of get going. Your energy levels have been depleted, and you're just not as productive as you once were. And so with that, you're just a little more irritable. Well, if you've mentioned yes to all of those, well, it could be your personality. But there's also the fact that it could be something that mental health people call is sad. It's an acronym for seasonal, attitude or addictive disorder. It happens usually at this time where there's fall that's setting in, or the possibility of winter, less light, and when there is those chemicals within our brain that just need sunlight. Serotonin is released. And aren't we grateful we live in Southern California that there's 310 days of sunlight? But, you know, there's times that the time is changing, less light, and it affects people. And so the therapy for that is called light therapy. Get eye and ears into the daylight, especially you who might be a little more engaged indoors with electronics. Get on out and enjoy the sunlight. But I want to just highlight our message here. When we take a look at It's Darkest Just Before Dawn, is that Christmas is really light therapy for us. And as we look here at Matthew chapter 4, verse 13, we're picking up a passage where Jesus, as we've been journeying with his early childhood, and all of a sudden he's starting his ministry. He just came through the temptation in the wilderness by the devil. We know that John the Baptist has been arrested. He'll soon be executed. And Jesus is coming in on the scene. And our first point on our note is that darkness was predicted. We're seeing here in verse 13, and Lord, thank you for opening your word in a brief message this morning to us and those who are watching by live stream. It says, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Naphtali and Zebulun, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light was dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I like that. Our theme this year at Hope Chapel is God's kingdom seen in 2017. But when we take a look at our first point, darkness was predicted. This is Matthew, as he's writing what he saw and heard with his time with Jesus. He's bringing to mind what Isaiah prophesied back in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It's interesting because Isaiah here is declaring the first glimmer of light penetrating the darkness. And when we see here, some things are happening because Josephus, as we like to enjoy a little bit of the history of the Bible culture, Josephus, a Jewish historian, writes, why would Jesus go from Nazareth, where he was raised, into Galilee? We know it as the Galilee region or the Sea of Galilee. Josephus says that there was 204 villages around Galilee, and all those villages contained no fewer than 15,000 people. You put those in a condensed population, that's about 3 million people. So Jesus is now going into Galilee, and he's going to station himself in Capernaum. I'm looking forward to taking so many of you joining us to Israel next year. We're going to see where Capernaum is, where Jesus walked. It's an amazing sight right on the seashore of the Sea of Galilee. But when we see, too, that that region of Galilee, it was a less religious, traditional setting. In other words, just blue-collar workers, people that just worked hard for a living. That's interesting to note, too. They were open for some new thoughts and some directions. Matter of fact, it was said that you could always tell a Galilean because they kind of spoke funny. They had a little bit of an accent, so people were aware of that. And it was a cosmopolitan kind of setting, different cultures, different groups of people. You could see here that we have Isaiah prophesying verse 15, by the way of the sea, is that the Via Maris road was very important. We had people that were bringing in ideas and cultures. And so with that, how outstanding for Jesus to transition from where he was raised in Nazareth to go into Galilee. But darkness was predicted. Isaiah saying the people who sat in darkness. And it was profound. Our second point is that darkness was profound. Something about darkness, when you see the prophecy that's listed here, Isaiah in his writing says that darkness, people walked in darkness. Matthew's taking back what he knows of the word and literally says the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in complete darkness. It is an amazing experience. I've had a few occasions. You had Carlsbad Caverns. Also, the Oregon Caves, they're somewhere in those little tours that your tour guide will say, now brace yourself, we're going to turn out every ounce of light. And I mean, it is so dark, you can feel the darkness. Your eyes can't adjust to anything. There is nothing coming in to the eye gate. And it's said that if a person lives in that darkness long enough, it could be that their eyesight will become irreparable. They can't quite get to that point where they once could see so clearly. And in this area, how dark was it? When we take a look at the darkness that was profound, we see here that the people who sat in darkness, the people of Zebulun and Naphtali in the area of Galilee, some listed it in this regard, in that setting that Jesus came into. First, politically, that the Roman taxation was so severe, it was just crushing people. We recount that in the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Remember that? And a decree went out by Caesar Augustus that everyone all over the world would be taxed. So people were politically in darkness, and it was desperate times for them. Even moral darkness. By the Greco-Roman standards, this is what a typical home would be like, that the wives would be expected, almost in seclusion, stay home. No one was allowed out. While the men basically went everywhere they wanted to sleep around with anyone they wanted. And then it came to that spiritual darkness, even in that setting. We know this to be the case, that just as our Bibles are divided with Old Testament and New Testament, that God prophesied, because of you, Israel, I'm now going into 400 years of silence. There were no prophecies given. That's the beauty of the scripture, as you know, is that the Bible is predictive prophecies, and especially about Jesus. Jesus fulfilled 300 prophecies and more. It's an amazing one person can fulfill so many prophecies, Old Testament to the New. How that the New Testament would give these glimmers that light's coming. And then the New Testament, man, it's all of a sudden the sun is just dawning, bam, through the New Testament declaration. So when we look here, we're seeing here spiritually, people were desperate. They felt as if God had abandoned them because they were under the Roman occupation and tyranny. Where is God? A common phrase was, Messiah has to come. When John the Baptist came on the scene, the questions they were asking him, you see in Scripture, was, are you the guy? Literally, they would say, are you the Messiah? Are you the one? And it was in that setting that Jesus came on the scene. It was that setting that we have Isaiah prophesying that the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region, the shadow of death, light has dawned. It's always darkness before the dawn. They saw something. Jesus came on the scene. And darkness, our third point, was penetrated. How? Jesus came in verse 17. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That word repent means there is now time that there's a way out. Let's go in this direction. What was it that brought light to people? What was it that brought light to my life? It's the truth. The word of God. It's an amazing thing. When Jesus started to speak the truth, how that brings light to those who are in darkness. That's how the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. When Jesus started to preach the truth and to share, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I remember reading a story, friends, about a man whose ministry was going into South America. And he would rescue children living in the sewers. That man would go down into the sewers and literally tell those children, I'm coming to get you out of here. I've got a better life for you to live. Follow me through that tunnel and look toward the end of that tunnel. There's a light at the end. It's an amazing thing. Some of the stories were as the children started to go into the light more, they started to see how soiled their garments were. That the excrement was just there, and as they tried to wipe themselves down, but can't. It's an amazing thing. Can't you see how Jesus is the same? Jesus comes into people who would be in darkness. And if you've sat in darkness long enough, you don't even realize, you can't even adjust until all of a sudden the truth starts to come into focus. Realize, wow, I'm starting to see clearly. I'm starting to hear things that I've never heard before. That's the miracle of God. It's what happened in my life. When somebody came along and I was not going to church, I was not participating in things, but it was when all of a sudden felt like God started to speak to me and bring revelation of who he was. I believe that's what the Lord's doing right now. How that, like that man rescuing children, living under the city in darkness, Jesus comes to people and say, listen, I'm coming to lead you out of the darkness. Look toward the end of this tunnel. There's light at the end. I love 1 John 1:7, where it says so clearly that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Remember in the Old Testament, the prophets would prophesy, man, there's a glimmer. There's light coming. That's what Isaiah's saying. Jesus came and said, man, and as they wrote about him in the New Testament, the light, the dawning, the brightness of the day has come. I'm inviting you to close your eyes right now. I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer of accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and there's been a time in your life and you're not sure where or how your journey has taken you, but you know this, it's time to give your life to Jesus. You who are watching via live stream, I invite you to pray with me as well. It's a simple little prayer, but has profound eternal impacts. Great way our Christmas musical talked about Jesus being born. As you just think about this invitation I'm about to lead us in, can you imagine Jesus making a big step? Coming from glory, God who made you, taking on a little form of a human called a fetus, becoming a child, trusting his parents. Would you like to revert back to being a little infant? Eliminating ability to communicate? Eliminating solid foods? Loss of bladder control? That would be quite humiliating. Jesus did much more than that when he came to save you and me. This prayer goes like this. Would you repeat it after me? Dear Jesus, I believe in you. And I ask you now, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I need you now. I trust you, Jesus, for eternal life. Now, dear Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want, but what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you keep your eyes closed just for a moment? I know our young people are always excited when we just ask you who are here, if you presented your life and said, Lord, I believe in you. I need you as my Savior, Lord. Come, be a part of my life. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or rededicated your life to Christ, would you just lift your hand up and just put it right down and say, that's me. Hey, thank you. Anyone else? I prayed that prayer. I needed him in my life. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm sure grateful for that. I want to pray a special blessing. Those four hands. I'm trusting that if you did not raise your hand, please don't let that be a disturbance that somehow you didn't kind of confess or man up. Boy, the Lord loves us so much. He wants to give you a tremendous experience. I'll tell you this, he has a better life for you, a better life for all of us. And the journey now begins with you and him. You and him. You and him together forever. And he calls you home one day to be with him. Let me pray a prayer of blessing over those who prayed that prayer to accept him. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we just love you so much. That, Lord, what a tremendous season to rejoice. Salvation is of the Lord. And for those who are here or even have watched by reason of live stream, have said, this is the holiday. This is the time. No more despair. No more depression. I want life back into my life. Jesus, touch every person. Cause them to grow and know your word. May the greatness of who you are be so radiant and visible, we can't help but talk about you in our family settings, school settings, in our work sessions. Lord, all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.